The following is a duplicate of tape one, side one, of an interview with Billy Liu, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. October 19, 1979, an interview with Billy W. Liu, CPA, at his office in Los Angeles. Now, Mr. Liu, could you tell me a little bit about where your parents were born and what their origins were?
Yes, my parents were born in Taishan, Guangdong Province.
Uh-huh. Both of them?
Both of them.
Uh-huh.
When did they come?
My father came here about 1890.
Oh, and what about your mother?
My mother was a Kino. She came later on in 1912.
Mm-hmm. Did he go back to marry her and then bring her over?
Yes.
I see.
My father did have a wife before my mother, but that one died, and then he went back and married my mother and brought her over.
I see. When he came here, how old was he?
He was around 30, I believe.
Oh.
But 18, something like that.
So he was born in 1860, roughly.
My father?
Uh-huh.
No. Let's see. Okay.
Say it again, please.
My father was born in November 25th, 1872.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how about your mother?
My mother was born in January 17, 1894.
Mm-hmm.
When your father came, is this Los Angeles the first stop for
him? I understand he arrived in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came to Los Angeles.
Do you know why he came?
Well, from what I heard from my father, thing was very rough. People were poor, and they weren't getting enough to eat, so they think of new area to, you know, to look for a thing to do to earn a living. So my grandfather came first, before he brought my father and my uncle over. My grandfather started a business in Old Chinatown in 1891,
mm-hmm.
called Sun Wing Wo Company, on North Los Angeles Street. SUNWINGWO Company.
Is it in Los Angeles Chinatown?
Yes, in Old Chinatown on Los Angeles Street. In fact, that building is still in existence. It's 419 and 421 North Los Angeles Street, at Garnier Building.
Oh, and what kind of company was it?
It was an import business.
What kind of
Chinese
food?
Merchandise, yeah.
Food?
General
or
food, yeah. Food and merchandise.
Mm-hmm. And your father brought your father,
my grandfather
brought
my father over, right?
Uh-huh.
His brother, and my uncle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What did your father do when he got to Los Angeles?
He was helping my grandfather run the business.
Oh, okay. And that's what he did the rest of his life?
Yes, well, until, let's see, about in the 30s, he changed the occupation and went into the chair caning business. Chair caning. Yeah, chair caning. What they do, you know, that the webbing on the chair.
Oh,
you know,
cherries?
No,
chair caning. Yeah.
Chair caning.
Oh,
caning.
Caning. Caning.
You
know, weave it.
Yeah, you weave it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
chair
caning.
Caning,
yeah.
Uh-huh. I see. How did he get into something like that?
Well, my uncle wants to run the business himself, so he didn't. He was sort of like let off, you know. so he had to find something to do. So he saw my other cousins were doing that line of business, so he went in that business.
Did they destroy good store, the import company, did good business? They have good business?
Yes,
or?
Very good business.
And then your uncle took it over and ousted your father.
You know, you can have two people there, you know, not ousted really.
I see. How about you? When were you born?
I was born right after my mother arrived. About, I think she arrived in December the 3rd, 1912, and I was born December the 20th, 1912.
You're kidding. Then she was 8 months?
Carrying me all on the boat, right.
She came with your father, right? Your father went back to China and then brought her back.
No, she came by herself with my brother.
I see. Your father went back and
married her, and then came back, and then she arrived later on.
Oh, how old is your brother then?
That's a stepbrother.
Oh, I see.
Half-brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I think, probably, uh, 17 or 18 years old at the time, I believe.
Oh.
Okay. And, you were raised here also?
I was born here, so I was raised here.
Uh-huh. You were born in the building?
I was born in Apple Plaza Street. Which is old Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's non-existent now.
Uh-huh. Would your parents live there?
Yes.
On house?
Yes. They call them apartments, I guess. A store behind a store. And then later on, we moved to the 427 North Los Angeles Street, which is a several store away from the Sunday Wall.
That's a house.
That's a store too.
A store.
Yeah, we went back and we started the cleaning business in front.
I see. Yeah.
Both your mother and your father were involved, or only your father?
The cooking.
Right.
The whole family was involved. I was even taught how to do when I was a little kid. Cooking.
I see.
So I can cane chair. Do you want to have any chair that came out?
You don't have that business anymore.
No, that's gone a long time ago.
Do you hire anybody besides the family help?
No, we didn't hire anybody. We just did ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when I graduated from high school, then I went into the business of this Sunday War until 1941. I graduated from the University of Southern California. Was a major in foreign trade. So 1941, December 7th, you know what happened? Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
So import business was no good.
What about languages? What dialect did you speak?
We were speaking Toisanwa.
Did you learn Cantonese?
Our parents were just speaking Toisanwa, so we were learning that way. So we were speaking both Chinese and English.
You spoke both at home?
Right.
Your mom
the English we spoke with our brothers and sisters. But the Chinese part, we had to commute with our parents when we speak Chinese.
Did your father or your mother ever learn to speak
my
English?
My father learned quite a bit by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he can write a little bit. The mother didn't, was able to learn any. But she does understand what we were talking about in English.
I see. And where did you go to kindergarten and nursery school?
Nursery school. I went to California Street School for grammar school. Junior high, I went to Central Junior High. Which is a Board of Education right now. Then from there, I went to
high school?
Yes, John H. Francis Polytechnic High School down on Washington Street. And now it's called LA Trade Tech.
I see. Did you specialize anything in high school?
High school, I took up art. And I expect
really?
To be an artist.
How interesting.
Upon graduation. But then I got into the business, the import business, so I, in college, but I took up foreign trade.
Uh-huh.
Then the war ended the foreign trade. So I went down to the produce market and did some part-time bookkeeping.
Was it a Chinese produce market or?
It was a wholesale produce market. They have a lot of secondary jobbers that need part-time bookkeeping.
The Chinese owner or?
Chinese owners, yes.
And most workers there are Chinese or?
No, there's a mixture of Chinese, Japanese, and Americans. But the Japanese were kicked out during the war.
That's right, they were interned.
Interned.
I see.
So,
and how long were you there?
Well, in fact, I was there till about 1957.
That's a long time.
But I was part-time bookkeeping, and then about 6 months later, I became executive secretary of the Chinese Produce Merchants. Because the former secretary was not too well versed in the English language. And during the war, there was a lot of Office of Price Administration laws that control prices. And he was not able to interpret those laws in the Chinese for the Chinese merchants.
This is the Chinese Produce Market Association?
Yes. Polish Merchants Association.
Oh, Merchants
Association.
So I was in as a secretary, executive secretary, for about 4.5 years till the war ended. I'm still secretary.
How many memberships do you remember?
Well, firms, there was about 30 produce houses, you might say, both large and small.
Is all the produce worker there belongs to these associations?
The association is only the houses, the stores, the company.
It's mostly for the owners.
Yeah, the owners.
Yeah. And,
so from there, one day, employment agency called up and wanted a Chinese accountant. And I said, well, I had 1 year of college accounting, but in the interview with the employment agency, I found out they want somebody to do some audit work in Guam. So that, after that, I didn't think much about it, and then later on I said maybe I should go. But I didn't know anything about auditing at all. See, I only took the first year accounting. Because foreign trade only required 1 year of accounting. So, ending up, I took the job. I went over to Guam to order the books. The agency that was handling the surplus for the World War II, the Chinese Nationalist government, was taking all these surplus from Guam, Saipan, and Tinian Island back to Shanghai and Tsingtao. So they were hiring an American contractor to do the inventorying, the stevedoring, and the shipping. And the American contractor was under a contract that they will get a bonus if they keep the cost down to a certain figure. That is why they required an independent audit. So they hired this independent accountant to go over there and audit. But when he went over there, he aroused these Chinese people over there that they didn't want to even let him look at the books. So he had problems. So that was why they hired want to hire a Chinese accountant.
So did you go?
So I went. But immediately I went over there and found out the these people were from Shanghai, and they speak Shanghainese and Mandarin.
Oh, no.
So I try to get along with them, but most of them speak English, they're office staff. So I got along with them, and I told them the problem, what we want. So they were very cooperative and opened books up.
And they were the workers there, or what did they do there?
The government unit sent there to supervise
them. Oh, they're sent from the national government.
Yeah, right.
I see, to ship surpluses over
there. To pick, you know, to receive these merchandise and everything. Mm.
And when was that, which year?
That was 1948.
48. And how long were you there?
I was in Guam for about a month and a half. And after that, I was sent to Shanghai, because Shanghai was the receiving port of these merchandise, the surplus. So I was in Shanghai for about a month.
What did you think of Shanghai?
Shanghai was like Paris, I might say. Everything there. Nightclubs, prostitutes, beggars. And a lot of people. But this last trip that I took in last year in September, I went back to Shanghai again. It's a quite a change. It's a much cleaner city. The racetrack was gone. The hotel I stayed is still there, Park Hotel. They call it the International now, I believe.
Okay, and then what did you do after you finished?
So after I finished this job over there, I thought about going back into accountancy. So I start to study at night, the UCLA Extension. So I studied accounting for, I guess, about 2 years or so.
At the same time you worked as a part-time bookkeeper
It's still there yet.
Association.
So then I took a CPA examination. And I passed the four section at the first crack.
When was that?
57 or 58, I think. So I passed all the examination. The four parts in November 1951. Then I started looking for a job with a CPA firm. And they all gave me an interview and application and sign. And they said, okay, we'll call you if we need you.
Nobody
called, right? You understand that? But then I thought of going back to the old firm, the firm that hired me for Guam. Oh, they say, we'll be glad to take you. So they took me there, so I had, after 2 years there, I was able to get the certificate, because it requires 2 years of experience.
This firm, what was it, did it have a name? Was it the U.S. government, the Chinese government?
No, this is an independent accountancy firm, L.N. Treadways, you might say.
And you stayed with them from 51 until, or 52,
till about 58,
right?
Yeah, 58. 58, they lost this contractor account that they were handling that sent me over to Shanghai. So they lost, more than 50% of business. So
they
I was terminated.
Yeah. I see.
So then I came on my own from then on.
Went into Kenya. And where did you start?
My first office was down at the produce market, because I was doing that part-time bookkeeping down there.
Ah, so you had a lot of connections.
Yes. So I didn't move to here until about a year and a half ago.
Before a year and a half ago, you were
down at the produce
market all
the
time.
So
can we go back a little bit?
Yes,
about the produce market.
Yes.
When you were there as
executive secretary, right.
Can you remember any special event or any special problem there, or is just very smooth everything in the association?
Well, there's no problem except to get these merchants informed as to what the prices are and that the government requires them to sell under price control. And the major items are potatoes, onions, carrots, cabbages, whereas under price control.
Were there a lot of competition among Chinese or between Chinese and Americans?
Well, on the wholesale produce, there's actually, you might call it competition, but it all depends on the supplies and demand. Mm-hmm. Prices might change from morning to the end of the day.
So you have to inform the merchants all the time.
Well, as far as the price control is, what the price is.
Do they
the price might go down below the control price, but the if it goes above, then it'd be black market.
Do they follow these price control most of the time? Or?
Well, we're supposed to follow it, but I don't know, I'm not supposed to know what they're doing.
And their customers are mainly from
yes,
Los Angeles.
Yes, all the markets.
Americans as well as Chinese.
Right.
And would you say that most of the owners there were Chinese or
No,
roughly,
I believe probably 25% are Chinese. Mm-hmm. 25%.
So the Chinese didn't really have hard time to do their business competing with Americans, or do they have to have certain kind of way to survive in that produce market?
No, I don't believe they have too much of a problem because as long as they have the supplies, the Caucasian merchant will buy from them anyway. So there's no, discrimination, you might say, as far as buying from whom or who.
Where did they get these vegetables?
From the farms.
The Chinese farmers, or?
Chinese farmers, some of the American farmers too.
Japanese farmer.
No Japanese farmer, not during the war, yeah.
That's right.
But before it is, and after the war it is.
Where were these Chinese farmers from?
Well, San Fernando Valley, for instance, a lot of the Chinese are growing asparagus.
Mm-hmm. Why asparagus?
Well, I guess one follow another, just like the Chinese laundries.
They all grew asparagus?
A lot of them were growing asparagus. Mm-hmm.
Well, did they make good?
Yes, they did very good on asparagus growing.
They grew nothing else other than?
Well, yes, they grew other things like vegetables like spinach, cabbages, carrots, whatever the market demands.
Did they grow anything Chinese? To supply the Chinese
yes,
people.
There is growing Chinese. In fact, now there's a lot of Chinese farmers growing Chinese vegetables.
Yeah, at that time, were there enough there demand
is,
to
yes,
justify?
Yes, there is.
I see. So
not the big demand, but there is enough to, demand.
You mean things like galang?
A small crop. Not big crop.
Where do the Chinese people go to buy groceries?
At those times? In
mm-hmm.
Old Chinatown.
A long time. Old Chinatown?
Most people were
they're
there.
They're all living around there, and they, there's a few that live outside the area, but most of them are in Old Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. Where did you live?
In Chinatown, in Los Angeles, 427.
All the way?
Until. I guess during the war we moved down to 2050.
What kind of area was that?
Well,
black, white?
No, it was a white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
White neighborhood, and then later on the color moved in.
Mm-hmm. And you stayed?
Yeah, we stayed.
And you're still there?
No, I'm not there. No, that's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I got married, I moved to Butler.
Where was that?
Near the Coliseum here.
Uh-huh.
West of Coliseum.
Which
Long Avenue. When I got married, that's 1951.
Uh-huh. That's also a white area.
Yeah, at the time.
Uh-huh. And are you still here? Or did
no,
you move
I
there?
Moved to Silver Lake.
Oh, Silver Lake. Right.
Yes, after
that's where you live now.
Yeah, in Silver Lake.
Okay. This, in those days, the, how many hours did produce market workers?
Before the war, I understand the hour was quite long. We have two different shifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then during the war years, like the union make them only one shift.
Mm-hmm.
They start quite early in the morning, about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then end up the business day about around 10 or 12 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh. I see. Do you work long hours too?
No, we didn't work that long an hour because under the union rule, I mean, it's only 8 hour days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How much did they pay you at that time per hour for part-time bookkeeping?
Well, a typical job, one house, would be about around $15 to $20 a month.
And you work for how many
hours?
Well, it doesn't take that long for a job.
How many houses did you work for?
Well, I was working for about 4 or 5 houses.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were making around $60, excuse
then
me.
Then I have that secretarial job, which is about 200, I think, or 250.
Oh, the two were combined.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was making about $500 or $600 a
month.
That's
a lot
at that
time,
huh?
But I didn't save any money.
How about the produce workers? How much did they get paid?
I think they were $40 or $50 a week. I don't remember quite well on that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what about the profits? Do you know how much profits?
No, I
the
don't remember those things. It was a long time ago.
Compared to other businesses, were they better off than the other, like, merchants or other businessmen?
I think about the same, actually. But the thing about in the produce market is that you have a better for clientele, you might say,
uh-huh.
Not limited. See, you're going to sell to Caucasian people, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not limited. In Chinatown, you're limited to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they live around that area too? Around the
produce, yes, yeah. There is quite a bit, quite a few people live around that area. What they call 9th Street.
Oh, 9th Street.
Yeah, 9th Street.
The family.
Yes, right. Yes. Most of those houses are torn down right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's situated like 9th Place, 10th Street,
mm-hmm.
in that area.
What did you do with all that money you made? Did you gamble?
I spent it.
Did you gamble?
No, I didn't gamble. I'm not a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
I do go to Las Vegas and still play a little game, a few games like that, but then I don't gamble.
So in
not
Chinatown,
the
talking about the gambling.
Yeah, right. I know. But I never did gamble.
What kind of recreation?
No, go to movies, go bowling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you
go
play
dancing?
Mm-hmm.
Mahjong, we didn't play that much those days.
Mm-hmm.
High school, and you go to dancing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We have two or three different clubs of young people.
Mm-hmm.
They were they? The Meiwa, the girls group.
Meiwa,
mm-hmm.
Girls group, yeah, and then. Kuan Ying group,
mm-hmm.
And then Lowa, the boys group.
Lowa?
Yeah.
Lowa,
I think L-O-W, I think. W-A-H, I think.
Boys club.
Yeah, boys club, and then they have the...
How old are these members, boys group and girls group?
Oh, they're teenage. Uh-huh. High school ages.
At the time you were working, you were into your 20s, right? Did you join
the school? This is the high school.
High school, then, yeah.
When you were in high school, did you join?
No, I didn't join any of those, in fact. Mm-hmm. I did participate in a Chinese club in high school.
Mm-hmm. There was a Chinese club?
Yes, there was a Chinese club.
What
many of
do?
You?
Well, they have meetings every month, uh-huh. and then they have dances. Uh-huh. You go to the restaurant and eat till yeah.
I see. What else did you do in high school? Did you join much of the American activities, like go to football games, their dances?
Yes, we do go to football game and go to the participate in the senior prom and things like that, but we don't mingle with the Caucasian that much.
Why?
It's prejudice.
They didn't like you, or you didn't like them?
No, that's a move with.
And so the Chinese always get together.
Get together themselves. Yeah.
Was there any-